Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he was living alone and he got used to the creaks and the settling sounds of the house. But what he couldn't get used to was how often it sounded like someone was unlocking the front door.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is, and we thank you so much for listening. Remember, we like to hear your real ghost stories, so if you have one, call it in. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. You can write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. You could become a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes and access to the archive and no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, or you can do that through patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes, Kathy Gordon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. So I told Kathy this story that, well, I don't think I've really told you. I texted you this story the other night, but the last episode we were talking about, I woke up in the middle of the night to my whole house fan turned on by itself again in the middle of the night, which is weird, like 3 years apart.
And I think it's weird.
I think that's very weird. And then I don't really think these are connected, but I also think it's very weird. So last Saturday night, I got home about 11:30, coming through the garage, walked through the kitchen. I have a small house. It's 1,100 square feet. So I have a I guess it was like the 1940s equivalent of open concept, because the front room kind of goes to the living room and then they built on a back room. So the dining room isn't a separate room or anything, but I have a dining table there. So I always come in, put my purse on one of the chairs, and it's dark wood and my purse is black. And then I let Benji out and I changed my clothes and I came back and I got food for my pets and everything. And so I thought I'd sit down and watch TV for a little bit before I went to bed. Went to get my phone out of my purse and I picked up my purse, and I can't even describe the feeling of pain, because it was like this weird pain, but I don't know what this pain is. I have not felt this kind of pain exactly before. And I screamed and I dropped my purse back onto the chair because I just had barely lifted it up. This all happened really quick, like 1 second. Lift it up, drop it. And I go, I ran like 5 steps and I'm in the middle of the kitchen because it's a little house. And I'm like, what the hell happened to my thumb? Like, and so I'm looking at my thumb and it's kind of red. And I'm like, I think something bit me. Because it wasn't like a, like I broke a bone. It wasn't that kind of pain. It was more like this weird stinging slash almost like an electric pain. Yeah. Yeah. Like a shock. It was really strange. And I'm like, what the hell was that?
Our listeners all know now.
Right? So I go and I look at my purse, and in my house of 1,100 square feet, a wasp had flown in and landed on, like, after I put, now maybe the wasp was already on the chair and it just walked over to where I put my purse and decided I'm going to rest on her purse strap. But in that amount of time I'd been in the house, maybe 10 minutes, somehow a wasp ended up on top of my purse strap. When I went to pick up my purse, I picked up a wasp. And it bit me, or it stung me.
And it's such a, it's just out of the blue, such a surprise. Yeah.
My God. And you don't expect it at 11:30 at night inside your house.
No.
By just picking up your purse that you had just set down. It was so bizarre.
Well, I had a similar where I was maybe 12 or 13 and I was cleaning the house for somebody. And I went to pick up a throw rug to go shake it out. And I picked it up and same thing. And I could not figure out what it was. And then I saw that I had the stinger in there. And so I know exactly how you feel, because there's that, what was it? Like, you don't even know because you're not expecting. You just grabbed it.
Yeah.
You know?
At 11:30 at night.
Oh.
And it's April. It's, you know, and I had seen a couple wasps outside. So I assume when I let Benji out sometime or coming in and out of my house, a wasp had flown in. I'm good, obviously.
I, I'm still on the bandwagon that you brought that wasp in. It rode on your purse in.
Well, but then that would I left the theater and went into my car. I don't know how it could have ridden.
It could, no, I'm just saying it probably in your garage.
Perhaps.
And then it jumped on, it happened to fly onto your purse as you're walking into the house.
But
and then
I've
you brought it in with you.
The wasps by the back door and the front door, not in the garage. So I don't know. Maybe that's how it happened. But even then, you think if it had ridden in on my purse by me setting it down, like I don't, even the odds of that are weird.
It's all weird, isn't it? Just the odd of putting your hand out and grabbing it.
Which,
but I too have done it.
So then yeah. I got a fly swatter, and the next thing I know, I see my cat, like, and I'm like, damn thing still hasn't died. And so, because now I'm afraid it's going to sting my cat. And I think the whole thing happened so fast. Like, there was no stinger in me, so it wasn't like I had some big war wound or anything like that. I yeah. Googled it. It said to put ice on it. I did. And it was fine. But now I'm like, what is going on in that little area of my house that's literally right below where the whole house fan is? Just this. Yeah. One little bizarro area of my house all of a sudden. Like, it's got to stop.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I have to have a talk with my house. Well, speaking of houses, this story is about somebody moving out for the first time and renting a little house.
Okay.
So it says, it happened a few years ago when I first moved out on my own. And it's honestly the main reason I didn't last very long in that house. It was the first place I'd ever had by myself, not an apartment, no roommates, just a small house I rented on my own. It wasn't anything special, older, a little worn down in places, but it was affordable, and I loved the idea of having my own space. At first, everything was normal. I was getting used to being there alone, figuring out a routine, learning what sounds were just part of the house. It would creak sometimes, pipes would make noise, the usual stuff. The first thing that stuck out didn't seem like a big deal at the time. I was in the kitchen one night pretty late making something to eat with the TV on in the living room. Out of nowhere, I heard what sounded exactly like keys at the front door. No knocking or someone trying the handle. It was the sound of keys hitting the lock. I remember stopping and listening for a second. My first thought was it must be the landlord. He had a key, and even though he said he'd usually let me know if he was stopping by, I figured maybe he forgot something or just stopped by. So I walked into the living room expecting the door to open, and it didn't. I stood there for a few seconds, went over, looked out the front window. No one was there. I opened the door, checked outside anyway. Nothing. No one walking away, no car pulling off, nothing like that. I locked the door again, went back to what I was doing. I felt weird, but I talked myself out of it quickly. It was an old house, or maybe someone was at the wrong place. A couple nights later, it happened again, the exact same sound, keys at the lock. This time I didn't wait. I went straight to the door and I opened it, and no one was there. So it started to bother me a little more. It wasn't just a random noise. It was too specific, and it had happened the same way twice. So the next day, I called the landlord and asked if he had stopped by or if anyone else had access to the place. He said no, just him, and he hadn't been there. He didn't sound like he was hiding anything, just confused about why I was asking. After that, things were quiet for a while. I started thinking maybe I had been overreacting. Then one night, I got home. I was heading down the hallway toward the bathroom. I hadn't even turned all the lights on yet, just the one in the living room. And as I was walking, I heard it again, the keys. I stopped right there in the hallway and I listened. I was waiting for the door to open like before, but it didn't. Instead, I heard footsteps inside the house. Not loud or fast, just normal walking, like someone had come in and was moving through the living room. I didn't move. I just stood there trying to make sense of what I was hearing. The steps went from the front of the house toward the kitchen, and then they stopped, and then everything went quiet again. Oh my God, that would scare me to death, because that could be an intruder.
Except there isn't anything.
But at this point, I don't know that he, you know, maybe it sounded like the door opened, and maybe that really is something. Ugh. After a minute, I went back toward the living room, checked everything. The front door was still locked. No one was in the house, and nothing was out of place. That was the first time I actually felt uneasy. After that, I started paying more attention to everything. I kept the TV lower so I could hear if something happened. I stopped using headphones. Every little sound made me stop and listen. And nothing happened for a few days, and I almost convinced myself it was over. Then one night it happened again, and that was it for me. I had just gotten out of the shower, and I was in my bedroom getting dressed when I heard the keys at the front door again. At that point, I already knew what it was going to do, so I didn't go check it out right away. I just stood there and listened, and a few seconds later, I heard the footsteps again. This time, they didn't stop at the kitchen. They kept going from the living room into the hallway, and I remember just staring at my bedroom door, not moving, waiting to see if the handle would turn. The steps came all the way down the hallway. Stop.
No.
That gave me the chills. Stopped right outside my door. I didn't hear anything after that. No movement, no sound. It was just silent. I stood there for a few seconds, then grabbed whatever I could, and I got out of there. I didn't even try to check the rest of the house that time. I went straight to a friend's house. I stayed the night there. The next day, I went back in the middle of the afternoon with someone else. I got the rest of my stuff, and I never stayed there again after that. I ended up breaking the lease early and losing the deposit, but I didn't really care. The landlord wasn't happy about it when I told him what had been happening, but he didn't argue. He just kind of listened and said he'd take care of it. I don't know if anyone moved in after me or if anything like that ever happened again. All I know is it sounded exactly like someone using keys to get into the house, and the last time it made its way to the bedroom door, and that was enough. So that's my ghost story. Love the show. Figured I'd share it with you guys. Thanks for reading. That's from Nora. Ah.
Wow.
No. Because that feels threatening if it like walked in, went to the kitchen, walked in, went to the bedroom. It's like, is it looking for you or is it, what is it doing?
And at first I was thinking residual haunting, right? That this person comes home from work and goes into whatever, right? And every so often it happens again, the same thing. Unlock the door, come home from work, whatever. But that wasn't what was happening because it intensified each experience. The first one, I don't believe they tried to get in, right? Just heard the door. Then the second one, they actually heard footsteps outside. I think did the door open on the second one?
I don't know. I think it was just that it keys ever did. Jingling door.
Yeah.
Not door,
and then,
walking.
But then we hear the footsteps kind of just come in the house, go to the kitchen or whatever. Now, the third or maybe fourth time this happens, it actually comes to the room where Nora was. And to me, that is very different. This thing has progressively gotten more threatening. One more time, that thing's in the room with you.
I think I would have broke my lease.
I think I might have had to as well.
And luckily she just lost her deposit because a lot of times you've been in a situation where they're like, fine, then you owe all this money.
Exactly. All these, you got 3 more months, you pay the 3 more months or whatever. And yeah. And so not that I was scared, but I just got a different job.
Yeah. So you had to move.
It feels different. Like at first I was thinking, do we have some weird Twilight Zone thing that there's a different place, a different time, and somebody actually still lives in this house at this different time? And sometimes that veil kind of loosens and you hear what happened in the house in the 1940s or something, but it doesn't feel like that. This feels very aware of Nora.
It feels threatening when someone walks right toward you.
And it's coming for her. Like, it knew right where she was.
But then it stopped and didn't do anything. But does it progress? Does it do some? Does it get closer the next time?
It felt like it was with each time.
Scare you?
Yeah, I think it felt like it was with each time. It was getting more, aware of her, or it was more being, you know, a little bit braver each time coming towards her, maybe testing her reactions.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Ooh.
I don't like it. Let's go to this caller.
This is Jill from Indiana. This goes back to when I was in college. And what had happened was I had an argument with my current boyfriend. Of course, as you do, I was desperately wanting to talk to my best friend. And it was a Saturday night. She went to a different college than me in a different town. We had limits on how much we could spend per month in long distance calling because we tended to really ring up that phone bill. So I had already used up all my minutes. I needed her to call me. It was a Saturday night. It was a party night. And I knew this wasn't going to happen. There's no way she's going to call me. So I reached out to my guardian spirit and I said, I need to talk to my best friend, Lisa. She's, you know, at this college party weekend. Can you get her the message to call me? He said, I'll try. And of course, at this point, I still don't know if this is a real thing or if this is in my head. I'm giving it any shot I can get. And so a few minutes later, my imaginary friend or my guardian spirit says, she can't call you, but you can call her. And I said, I can't call her. It's Saturday night. She's out partying. There's no way I'm going to be able to reach her. There's no way she's back at her dorm because she invited me to the party. And he says, just try. So I call, and it rings and rings and rings and rings. Finally, she answers. And it is a loud noise, lots of loud music, a lot of people. And she answers the phone, and I say, Lisa. And she goes, yeah, this is Lisa. And I said, Jill. And she goes, oh, my God, it's Jill. And she holds the phone up and says, hey, everybody, it's Jill. And what sounds like 100 people start screaming, Jill, come down. Come down and party with us. Because I have done that before, where I would travel to her college and hang out with her friends and vice versa. And so she gets back on the phone, and I say, how did you fit all those people in your dorm? Because she didn't live in a sorority house. She lived in a dorm in a tiny little 9x9 room. Even if you packed all these people in the hallway, there's no way that, you know, I would be able to hear them all on the phone. And she says, what? What are you talking about? I said, how did you get all those people in your dorm? And she said, I'm not at my dorm. I'm at whatever fraternity, Phi Beta Kappa or whatever it was. I'm at Phi Beta Kappa house at the big party. Remember, I invited you. And I said, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're at a fraternity house? She said, yeah, come on down. I said, no, you can't be at a fraternity house. I called you. I called your dorm room. And you answered. And she said, well, the phone was ringing, so I picked it up, but I'm at this fraternity house. And she was, you know, she'd been drinking. So she was like, whoa, that's so crazy. And I said, well, the phone number's probably just off by one number, and I misdialed or whatever. I said, what's the phone number there? And she had to grab some guy and ask, and the phone number was completely different from her phone number, not even close. And then she said, wait, you called me? And I said, yes, I called you. I desperately needed to talk to you. How did I get you? You're at a different house with hundreds of people, and you happen to be the one to answer the phone. That's insane. And she got real quiet, and she said, Jill, sometimes you really freak me out with this stuff. I can't deal with this right now. Call me later and stop doing all this crazy stuff. I just called you. I didn't do anything crazy. I didn't do anything. And she's like, I love you. I got to go. And she hung up. I don't even remember what it was I was trying to call her about. I was so freaked out about it. But thanks for listening. Bye.
That is a weird thing to happen.
I'm trying to put some sort of possibility out here in the world about it, and I can't come up with one.
I did think it was kind of strange how she just so matter-of-factly, so I asked my guardian spirit to help me find her. And I was like, I have not really heard people kind of using them for things like that. Like, I need to talk to her. Help me find her. And then that happens.
Maybe we need to do that more.
Maybe.
Right?
I didn't realize you could do that.
Well, but obviously Jill has some kind of cool powers because Lisa said, Jill, you really freak me out with all your weird stuff. So, like, it's apparent she had a history here.
Yeah.
Of things that would happen. But I cannot come up with a way. And now we're talking, and I'm just going to go landlines, right? Because she called her dorm room. But it rings over at a frat house, totally different phone numbers. It used to be, it seemed like there was a service that you could have that would, you could say, I'm going to be here and have your calls forwarded to different numbers. I don't see how that happens here because you wouldn't do it for one party at a frat house.
No. And that would be kind of weird. Like, oh, I'm here at a party and we're all drunk and having fun. And by the way, I had all my calls forwarded here.
Yeah. Like it was something you did for me. Work, right? Like,
yeah.
Like you were a serviceman or something and you knew you were going to be working at this location or something, you know, so you would have... You know, you didn't have a receptionist, and so you just had your calls forwarded or something. I don't know. But there was a way we used to do silly stuff like that. That doesn't hold true here either. Like, my brain is trying to go through all the ways landlines worked, and I just don't come up with one.
That is just very strange.
It really is. And so then, you know, on top of it, to have the... this guardian spirit of hers say, no, just go ahead and call.
And her friend is like, Jill, I can't handle this stuff with you.
And Lisa's just at a party.
I am
getting
back to my party. And whatever you need to talk about is going to have to wait.
How many times did you do that? Where you picked up the phone and say, everybody say hi to Carol, exactly. Right? Like, we did it all the time. I don't know that anybody does that anymore because we all have phones. But it used to be... Like, you just somebody at the party would answer the phone, right? It would be anybody that was close in the area. And then they'd be, you know, Kathy, somebody's on the phone for you or whatever. And it'd go, you know, somebody'd come find you in the other room or whatever.
That's right, because I had all of my calls forwarded to this location.
I know, right? I don't see it. I don't see a way it happens.
I just don't. That's very strange. I can't explain that one.
That one is, I got nothing. Absolutely.
But man, it opens up possibilities. If you can use your guardian spirit for that, what are we all missing out on? Some kind of superpower thing that we could all have?
I'm telling you, Jill, you need to be using that thing more often.
Right?
That's awesome.
That just makes you think there's more possibilities here. If you could do
that's
that,
right.
There's a lot of things you could do.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. If you want to call it in, the number is 855-853-4802. You can also write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber. If you want, you get advanced episodes and access to the archive without the commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.